Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. Happy April. Happy April. Gosh, it's just incredible. We're in the second quarter of the year already. Amazing how fast it goes. Before I do anything else, I want to wish my brother, Steve, a happy birthday tomorrow. I'm going to meet them for dinner, which will be a lot of fun. I'm actually having a social life these days, which is kind of an interesting thing, meeting friends and family for dinners or lunches. And they invited me to join them. So, and I know they're super busy. I'm sure they're going to be off in different directions on Thursday. So it'll be fun to see them and give them a birthday present and wish them a happy birthday in person. But anyway, happy birthday, Steve. I missed my March trip to Springfield this year because there was just too much going on. It had the roof redone and just everything else, just a lot going on at the house in March. And, you know, the other reason too is I really didn't want to go in March. In the past, when I started going was when Quinn was a baby. So I would go and I would take care of her because her other grandma went to Arizona to be with, she has two sons and a granddaughter in Arizona that all have birthdays in March. So she would go and I would go and take care of Quinn because Kristen's mom was Quinn's primary caretaker. I mean, she took care of her all the time. So, you know, that was great. And I did that for Bodie and I did that for Maisie too. But now Quinn's in school. She goes to school. She's in, what is she in? She's in first grade. She's ending first grade. She's ending first grade. She just turned 7. And so she's in school and the two kids go to daycare. The babies go to daycare. We keep calling them babies. They're going to be 3 and 4. They'll be babies forever. They'll be the babies when they're 18. But they go to daycare and they have a, you know, a commitment there with the daycare lady. She only has 5 or 6 kids. That's all she takes care of them. She takes care of them from the time they're a couple years old. And I think she even has a couple of infants now, and she's wonderful. And she sees them all the way through to when they start school. And so it's a really nice, lovely, stable relationship. And she really focuses on them just being kids, you know, and playing, and they learn things. Bodie knows all his colors and numbers and has since he was 2. But it's not, it's more a focus on just being kids and playing and having fun. So, and being social, you know, knowing how to be around other kids and rules. She has rules. Rules are a good thing. But the other thing, there's no reason for me to go in March. And after last year and it taking an hour and a half to get to the security check at the airport, that also made my decision. I don't want to travel in March because it's spring break. And no matter when I've gone, at the beginning or closer to the end, it's been spring break somewhere. So it's just crazy busy airports. So, and the third and final thing, and I'm not complaining. This is just a, you know, something I've noticed. The weather in Illinois in March is not that great. It's still pretty gray. So, you know, I asked this year, I said, I'd love to come visit. I've got to get through March because of all the stuff that's going on here. But, you know, and I know they have different trips that they've planned, and I asked them to just figure out a time that would work for them for me to come visit a little later, not in March. So I get a text back last week from Jared saying if I could come like on the 13th for the week of the 15th, that would be good. Right now they're actually in Alabama for Easter and Quinn's spring break, which is this week, the week after Easter. She goes to a Catholic school, so that makes it more dictated by Easter. So anyway, all of a sudden I had to figure it out. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, the week of the 13th. And I had to figure out if that would work. So, you know, right now there's both more and less to think about when I think about traveling. The biggest thing I had to think about is, what do I do with Grace? You know, Gracie, my dog. She, in the past, she stayed with Channon even when we had my friend Marcia come over and take care of him and visit him a couple times a day. She would take Grace out for a walk. So, you know, she could stay with him, or she stayed with my mom. Well, or she stayed with another friend of mine, Monica. But Monica's moved to another town, and Channon and mom are no longer around. So I had to, you know, something else had to pitch up for me to take care of Grace, or for someone to take care of Grace while I'm gone. But then I realized that a month or so ago, in one of my Instacart shoppers, who did a terrific job shopping for me, and it's not like it's rocket science, but I eat primarily fresh stuff. So I put explicit instructions in there as to, you know, please, you know, check the expiration date, make sure it's as far out as it can be, take a look at the stuff in there, regardless of what the expiration date is. And, you know, not to be a pain, but it's what I live on, you know, fresh stuff. So anyway, this particular shopper named Stacy was just fantastic, and we communicated via text and while she shopped, and she just did a terrific job. Well, when I was unpacking my groceries, she'd left a business card in my groceries, and she's a Rover pet sitter. And so I kept the card. In fact, I just put it on my desk because I thought, even back then, maybe it's 2 months ago now, at some point I was gonna go to Springfield, and I needed somebody to take care of the dog. So I just left it on my desk. So I emailed her, and she is just lovely. She's just it's the perfect situation. You know, Grace and I are attached at the hip. We're together all the time because I work from home. Well, she works from home too, and she has a little dog, a girl. I don't know what her dog's name is, but they're pretty codependent as well. I never thought about that, but I think Grace and I are too. And she's very flexible. I can take her on. I leave on Saturday morning about 4 a.m. For a Lyft ride to the airport. And I can take her Friday. She's very flexible because she works from home. She offered me her stand-up, how do I say it? Her not on Rover price, which was $10 a night cheaper. And it was just, you know, it was just perfect. I feel very comfortable with her. I don't know how many emails we exchanged, but it was just great. I feel comfortable with her. I know she'll take good care of Grace. And she was lovely. I actually met her when she dropped the groceries off and said thank you to her. So I have met her, but and she's very close to me. She's probably, gosh, less than 15 minutes away from where I am. So and just really flexible. So that was the biggest deal. That was really the biggest deal. And then, considering it was only really less than 3 weeks away when I decided to go, I checked flights and got just a really good price on my flights. And the funniest thing about it is, too, when I looked at my calendar, because I knew I had a dentist appointment and some other things going on in April, during the week of the 15th, there is nothing in my schedule. Nothing. Nothing. So, and it was the only a week in the month that nothing was happening, that I didn't have an appointment of some sort, or Grace had an appointment. So it all just fell into place, and it fell into place in about a day, you know, really probably less than a day. And that's just perfect example of just being supported by spirit, you know, just absolutely supported by spirit. And you know, the green light, absolutely had the green light, no negatives. And the lovely thing too this time is, I'm very excited to go and spend time with my family, obviously, with those little crazy little wild kids, and with my son and daughter-in-law. But this trip will be really different in another respect, because I don't have to worry about anyone here at home. I don't have to keep checking in on Shannon and making sure, or with his caregiver, or making sure he's okay. And that'll be very different. That'll be different. That might be a little bittersweet, actually. But I just have to share one more kiss on the cheek from God. And this was just fantastic. I started writing this show yesterday because I, as usual, I have a lot to talk about, or I think I do. It was a rainy day and really cold yesterday afternoon, and I waited until evening to go to get the mail. It was kind of these weird rain showers and sleet showers, and so they'd come and they'd go and they'd come back, and I kind of waited for a break to go get the mail. And when I went out to the mailbox, when I opened the mailbox, it was kind of jammed full, and I thought, well, this is weird. And it because there was a package in it, and I couldn't figure out, well, when I picked it up, I knew it was a book, but I couldn't figure out where. Well, I didn't order a book, so it was kind of interesting to get a book in my mailbox. And so when I looked at the address, it was from the Reverend Ike Legacy. And it turns out that it's Reverend Ike's biography, which I really wanted and I haven't ordered. And it's called Reverend Ike, An Extraordinary Life of Influence. And it was written by Mark Victor Hansen and Reverend Ike's son, Xavier Eichenkotter. I can't ever pronounce that name. It's like 14 letters long, Eichenkotter. And the foreword was written by Bob Proctor. So, a few heavyweights there. But it's a gift from the Reverend Ike Legacy for my support. And I've tithed to Reverend Ike's ministry for a long time now, since probably 2010, 2011. And I've gotten so much from his teachings that it made sense to that's the place where I put my tithes. So it just what a blessing. And it was autographed. It's autographed. Reverend Ike was a mystical voice like no other. Like no other. I found him by reading Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life. In there, toward the end of the book, there's a one sentence mention of Reverend Ike. And that sentence sent me to YouTube and made a huge impact on my life and my spiritual journey. I mean, a tremendous impact. I can't tell you how many times his words come into my ear and out my mouth when I'm talking to one of my clients, or to anybody, because it's just, it was a powerful influence on me. And if you ever just need a boost, go to YouTube and listen to him. The videos there are about 9 or 10 minutes long. They're short. And by the time I'm finished with one of those, I'm flying. I'm absolutely flying. If you need some inspiration or a boost, it's an easy way to get it. It's an easy way to get it. And now I know what I'll be reading on my flight to Springfield. So that was just such a sweet little gift. I mean, just an absolute blessing. It really did bring tears to my eyes. It came with a lovely letter. So I just had to share it. Anyway, I am very happy to be with you today. If you're listening live, please join me in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. I invite your comments and questions about today's topic, and I will respond to them probably after the show because I am not a multitasker. pardon me, I have been doing my spring cleaning, and I still have, like, I think a whole just lungs full of dust after the roof got done. So I sound like, I don't know, like either I smoke or I drink a lot. I don't know. But anyway, I apologize for my voice. One of these days it'll get back to normal. But anyway, I will respond to your questions or comments about the show after the show. You can find me on 12Listen every day. If you want a reading or a healing, whatever, I'm typically available mid to later morning, Pacific time into the evening. If you don't see me or if I'm busy, just schedule a call or put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately and I will get back to you as soon as I possibly can. And I will do my best to meet your schedule, or we'll figure something out if I can't. We have reduced rates on 1-2-listen.com a few times a week. We typically celebrate Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays. If you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 1-2-listen.com and sign up for 1-2 promotions. And all that entails is you leave your email address, and then you're notified. You get all of Mark's wonderful postcards. And it's not just Monday, Wednesday, it's not just, I'm sorry, Wednesday, Friday, Sundays that we are on special, but new moons, full moons, 1-2 day, you know, special occasions, holidays. So, and it's just that way, you know, when we're on sale and you get a great card to kind of lift you up that notifies you. Also just letting you know that my Welcome Spring 15-minute time-based session is available for the season. And it's really just releasing stuff that would stand in your way of embracing this time of new beginnings, of spring, and really flowing along with that wonderful energy that is just forward motion and life and excitement and it's powerful, and we can use it in our day-to-day life just to feel good, you know, just to be inspired and be open and available for good. Also, I remind you every week of the gratitude board on 1-2-listen.com. It's just a great tool. You can post anonymously what you're grateful for, whether it's in your experience or something you're looking to bring in. That board is moderated by the 1-2-listen advisors who add our attention to your intention, thereby empowering it. So it's another way for us to support you. And because you can post anonymously, why not? Why not? Thank you for listening. However, whenever you do, 1-2 Radio is a great way to stay inspired. And just, you know, just a reminder, I remind you every week, you can find archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at 1-2-radio.com. So again, why not? Take advantage. I want to say thanks to Jay for producing my show today and all he does for us on 1-2 Radio. And let's shift into the teaching segment by listening to a song by Akalia called The Nine Worlds from the Nine Worlds CD and Sequoia Records. Enjoy it, and I will be back. You're listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. I'm really happy you're here today. Thank you. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. You know, I've really been thinking a lot lately and kind of running into some things. And and I'll explain more. That sounded very cryptic. But, you know, we live lifetimes in our lifetime because life is change. What's really been in the forefront of my consciousness, what's been knocking on my door, is how to embrace those changes and what they have to offer for the highest possible outcome, for our highest and best good. And I can only speak from my truth and my experience, and that's what you're going to hear today. It's just my truth. Take it or leave it. You know, take what the offer is always there every week, spoken or unspoken. Please take what resonates, leave what doesn't, but don't struggle with anything. It's not worth it. This is me speaking from me as me in where I am right here, right now in my life and my experience. But I feel really strongly about just that, you know, what's going on, no matter what's going on, good, bad, or indifferent, it's going on. It's happening. So how do I use it? How do I release my opinions and judgments about it so that I can use it, so that I can see it for what it is? It wouldn't be in my experience if it weren't somehow, some way for my benefit and my growth. I believe that 100%. 100%. Everything that shows up for us is for, F-O-R capitals, us, period. Well, as I said a minute ago when I was talking about my voice, I finally got to my spring cleaning last week. And aside from a couple of things that need to be done, which are pretty not big deal, I think I was probably 90% finished by Sunday night. And so that felt really good. Got the, you know, what got out of here was the majority of the dust. So I cleaned, and of course, Easter, if you were a Catholic kid, that's when you change into spring clothes. You know, you start putting away the winter clothes. And here in Colorado, I mean, we'll have snow in April. We just will. So, but it can be, it's a tradition. You know, CA and I talked about it the last time she was on the show, you know, just changing out the fall clothes, the winter clothes, bringing out the spring and summer clothes. And of course, leaving a few heavier things in your closet because you'll need them. But it's a ritual. And it's a tradition because I've done it all my life and I enjoy it. I really enjoy it. Plus, it's another opportunity to just look at what you've got. Look at what you haven't worn for half a year. Ask yourself if you like it. You know, last year, just due to the stress and craziness of really the whole year, I lost weight. And I've gained a little bit back. But living alone, I'm in my own rhythm, you know? In my own rhythm of eating, of everything. So, and I don't eat a lot. So my weight settled where it wants to be. And now the majority of my clothes are too big for me. So it's time to pass them on so that they can continue to serve their purpose and bless other people. And I have been replacing them bit by bit, but giving them away is free and replacing them isn't. So, you know, it's a bit by bit kind of situation. And I always take advantage of the end of season sales and get a few things and then, you know, put them away to wear them next fall when they're new. Or next spring. I did that at the end of last spring for this spring. So anyway, it's kind of funny, but that will feel good to just give things away and just another part of the spring cleaning, clearing, you know, making space for what you want, letting go of what you don't want, making space for what you do want. But talking about eating and changes, mainly changes is what I want to talk about, not eating. But I had lunch with a dear, dear friend of mine. We've known each other for about 38 years. She was my boss and the one owner, a co-owner of the mortgage company that I worked for over 20 years. And I started there when I was 27, 28 years old, something like that. And she was my mentor, and I've just always loved her dearly and appreciated her. And she was really and truly, is really and truly one of the most generous, kind people I've ever known in my entire life. And she's always appeared to be very, just very comfortable in her own skin and very, again, just generous, loving, kind, considerate person. And I, again, she was my mentor, and that I've, tried to adopt from her, because it was a whole different way of operating. If you think about sales, and I was a loan officer, a commission only loan officer, and that was sales. I'm not a salesman. I'm not a salesman. I'm not a marketer. I'm not, that is not me. I will, if I had a loan to do for you, I would do my very best for you. I would take care of you. I loved working with my clients, but going out and pitching myself, oh my God, I'd rather eat dirt. I remember sitting out in front of real estate offices, my stomach just hurting, having to go in and chat up the realtors. Oh, I hated it. I just hated it. It was awful. It still, it makes my back hurt, right? I mean, I just get that cringe in my back just even thinking about it now. But we reconnected a couple of months ago, and now, and we've been in contact, over all these years, periodically. But a couple of months ago, after Channon passed away, she said, I'd really like to see you. Let's go to lunch. And so now we meet for lunch regularly, and we just talk our heads off. I mean, it could go on for hours. But last month, her husband, who is one of my favorite guys I've ever known in my entire life, joined us for lunch. And what was very interesting is kind of from the get-go, we started talking about how things are now at the stage of life that we're all in. And they're several years older than me, but it was just a really great conversation. And a conversation like that can be a lot of complaining, right? Like, oh, this hurts. Oh, that hurts. Oh, I regret. That's not what this was. Not at all. So, he was just saying that, well, to backtrack, she was in the position that she was in, the owner of a mortgage company. He was an executive, at a bank. So they have an incredible number of friends and acquaintances, and they honestly, I think they had some social thing to do every single day of the week. That's what I remember, just knowing her for those 20 years. And she would say, Terry just wants to stay home tonight, and he's just looking forward to a night staying home. But that was them, and that was her life. And she, I know, enjoyed it, and I'm sure he did too. But they still have friends that they went to high school with. I mean, it's just wonderful. It's just really, really wonderful who they are, and how respected and loved, and how their circle of friends and acquaintances are. It's just, I've always just been kind of in awe of that, really and truly. I mean, that's not me at all. I don't want to go someplace every night. No. But it was just, it's always been something that I really truly appreciate about her and both of them. But the conversation, what that led to when I meet, or what that leads to me telling you that they have just an infinite number of friends and people that they know. Terry said that they're going to a lot of funerals these days. And again, it was a very neutral, matter-of-fact conversation. And my takeaway was that, nothing stays the same. And that's not a news flash, right? That's not a new concept. But the acceptance of it, that nothing stays the same, that people go, people leave. You know, everything has a lifespan. Everything. Everything that comes into being is going to leave. It passes away because it has to. No matter how we kick and scream and fight against it, that is what happens. It's the way of nature. It is being in a temporal world, an unreal world, real being the eternal, infinite self. But, you know, just nothing stays the same. Accepting that, and they just through that conversation, that's the key to a happy and productive life. Being living a productive life until your life is over, until you choose to leave. He loves to cook, and he goes to the grocery store every day. Now, she said they know him by name at King Super. And it's just funny. And he just beams, you know, he just beams. We all grew up in Italian neighborhoods in North Denver. And he said that he's like a little Italian woman. You know, I go to the market every day and I buy what I'm going to cook that day. And he just gets a great deal of delight from doing that. You know, they do a lot of other things. They golf, they travel, they do a lot of other things. But he just loved that. You know, he says, now my pantry is well stocked. I have everything that I need, you know, going forward. But what I want to cook, I'm going to go and I'm going to buy the day that I cook it. So I just, you know, it was just joyful, joyful to listen to him. And she was telling me that she has an aunt that is over 100 years old. I don't know if she's 101 or 102 now. But she still lives in the same house she's always lived in North Denver. And for her 100th birthday, she had a champagne and pink party. And all of the neighbors, who were all young people, you know, now she lives in an old neighborhood, one of the old brick bungalows or Victorians in North Denver. All of the neighbors came and sang happy birthday to her. They took her out on the front lawn. She sat on her chair, and her whole neighborhood serenaded her with happy birthday. And it was just such a fun story. And I saw a picture of her, and she actually had her hair dyed pink for her 100th birthday. And she's just wonderful and sharp and active. And I think they said her family still comes over for Sunday dinner. And I think she cooks. So what a lovely thing. Oh, what a lovely thing. Spending time with them was just so much fun. And, you know, they're just living examples of the more we can be where we are at whatever time of life we're in and give the most of ourselves to it, the better off we're going to be. I mean, that's just it. Being here now, investing in where we are now. You know, rather than trying to hold on to the past, you know, it is possible to completely accept who we are now. And I think that's our challenge. I know it is for me, and I think it is for everyone. You know, because, I mean, you know, we all think about the past. We all think about, you know, how we felt or how we looked a few years ago or whatever, you know, all of those things. And life just keeps changing. You know, we're on our way back to the garden, right? And the thing is that death, physical death, there is no death there because life has no end or opposite. But physical, we leave these houses. The houses wear out. Our house, our body wears out. We do not. And that we is what can inspire our body, our present experience. Because who we are now is all we have, and it is more than good enough. And we are all here to give. Life is a circle of giving and receiving. And it's important to realize that no one else has what we have. No one else can give what we can give. We are all individual, the individual expression of Source. There are no duplicates. We are the instruments through which God demonstrates in the material world. each stage of life serves a purpose. Childhood, we come in here, we begin our journey, and we learn to live and survive on our own. Young adulthood, when we're trying to figure out who we are. Adulthood, maybe marriage, a family, and all that goes into that, all the work that goes into that. Then later adulthood, when children are grown and off on their adventure, and we have time to seriously consider and pursue what we want, what makes us happy, what we have to offer the world. Now, for some people, that's retirement. Or it may mean finding our heart work, or having our heart work find us, which is usually the way it goes, or continuing a career. You know, people live, my friend's aunt is not the only person living to 100. We live a long time now. We're in a time in history where that is possible. And we can live strong, healthy, vibrant lives into our late, late years. So, you know, invest. Invest. Be here now. At the later stage, though, at the later stage of life, we have a lifetime of wisdom, knowledge, and experience to share. You know, the key to happiness is to embrace it, to surrender all resistance to it, and let Source take over to benefit others. And in benefit anything we do, Reverend Ike, here's Reverend Ike in my ear, we only ever give to ourselves because we are one with everyone. We're one. My conscious oneness with God constitutes my oneness with all spiritual being, idea, and thing. And that's Joel. But we can allow that to just take over to benefit others and in turn benefit ourselves. Acceptance and surrender. Take the pressure off. Take the pressure off of, you know, trying to figure out how we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to be. Okay, I'm this age now. What do I do? How do I act? What's acceptable? You know, acceptance and surrender take the pressure off, because then you can be the best version of yourself where you are in your life at this moment and honor God in doing so. This is a huge deal. This is a huge, huge deal. Reverend Ike said, no one can ever be greater than their own self-concept. That's a biggie. No one can ever be greater than their own self-concept. So it's probably time, or it may be a good idea, to bring our self-concept into present time, right here, right now, April 2nd, 2024. Let go of self-judgment and self-criticism and run with it. Dismissing the ego critic and dwelling in the infinite self. Choose the eternal reality over temporal non-reality of the physical. I'm most definitely in a new lifetime. And I don't know how to live it. I don't. I mean, for me, there was a transition, a definite transition. And I don't know how to live it. I've never been here before. Well, none of us have. Wherever you are right now, you've never been here before. So, you know, my statement of surrender every day for many months now has been, I don't know how to live this life. And the result of that surrender has been miraculous. I've been supported in every moment. I've never been left hanging. You know, I don't know how to live. Well, the I that lives me does. And it pitches up and it brings about whatever is necessary for my next step. As I was meditating on where I am now in my life, this may sound silly, but it was something that I was stumbling over. And, you know, the trip to Springfield is a couple weeks away. And I realized that I don't know what and how to be for my grandchildren, or for my son and daughter-in-law, for that matter, or for anyone. I don't know how to dress or act, because I've never really gone along with the crowd. And I know that if I stifle my self-expression, as me in this world, I mean, I'm very uncomfortable because I'm not being true to myself. But if I let my chronological age dictate, I'm restricted and I don't let my soul, my childlike nature play and enjoy because it's stuffed into a restricted box. So this is a really interesting thing to think about. And what I was looking for is, what do I do? You know, what is a happy medium? Well, in that same meditation, as I finally got to that, you know, again, it was something I was stumbling over, but I didn't have a word for it. You know, I didn't have a definition for it until it showed itself to me in what I just said to you. You know, I don't know how to be what I'm supposed to be, where I am at this phase in my life. So in that same meditation, when I just got quiet, I got the answer. And it was simply to let love dictate everything. And that sounds airy-fairy, right? But let me break it down. To express love first, to express love, to let love dictate everything. And to express love first in everything for myself and for those that I encounter. So we go to the simplest thing. To wear something that I love wearing, you know, to love what I'm wearing, to love how I look, to be kind and interested in people that I meet, to let love and joy and childlikeness take over. Simple, simple, simple. To love what I eat. You know, it's like you can eat and maintain a diet that is beneficial to your physical body, but you got to love something in there. You've got to, or else you're torturing yourself. And I remember listening to Alan Watts say, you know, people avoid eating these things because they'll live longer, and you live longer, and what's the point? You haven't enjoyed it. And that makes me laugh, but it's true. You know, to love where you live, to love what you do, to just the day by day simple things, to love them. You know, to love. And that's that expression of love is just the expression of your divinity. You know, it's not big sappy stuff. It's not at all. In fact, neutrality is love. Just letting people be who they are, where they are. You know, and the thing is that if we are in a place, if you're, you know, wearing something that you feel really good wearing and you just feel good and you're in that good space, you know, we are energy first and we encounter each other's vibration before we even see each other physically. And that's a big deal. What we vibrate at, we attract. And vibration goes out ahead of us as we maneuver through the world. So, you know, being true to ourselves is being true to the God that is living us. The Father or Brahman is pure bliss, pure bliss. So if we let that rule, what a magical life we could have. You know, if we just rest in the arms, in the golden cathedral of the heart, I love this. I love that imagery. The Lord of love, the Lord of light, just resting in the arms of the Lord of love, the Lord of light. And then just being the transparency through which Source pours forth dominion into the physical world. And dominion, again, is another big word, but that breaking it down, it really, dominion comes in small pieces. Feeling good, being happy, being kind, being generous are all examples of that dominion. The dominion of God pouring forth into the physical world, because those things are not human. The things that bless others, that lift them up, that validate them, and the truth of their being, expressing those things is having dominion over a world that lives in fear. It's also having dominion over ego. And ego does not appreciate it, nor does it go quietly. It pitches a fit when we decide that we're perfectly good with how and where we are. You know, when we decide that we're comfortable, when we realize, when we are actually comfortable in our own skin, ego's beside itself. You know, it's the thing that has kept us safe and separate. That's its goal. It's a construct. It's a construct. And it's the thing that tells us that we're not safe out in the world, that we're not separate, that we've got to be careful. It's that associative mind that kicks in and with warning, 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 you know, every time we're in a new experience. But so when we decide, I'm perfectly fine and I'm going to go along with whatever is in my experience at this moment, you know it's going to kick back. You know it is. You know it is. But the thing is that when we're comfortable in our own skin, when we know who we are, really nothing can rattle us. It really can't, because who we are is God. You know, it is the infinite self. That's who we are. That's who lives us. So, you know, when we're comfortable, when we're confident in that, at that point, we're better able to be the inlet and outlet of grace, you know, of that infinite wisdom, infinite love, infinite supply, which is just what's needed by everyone we encounter and ourselves. It's all a circle, the inlet and outlet. And this is a powerful thing to just think about, meditate on, and adopt as a method of operation. It just keeps expanding. The more you think about it, the more I think about it. And it's wonderful. You know, we have something more to offer in every phase of life, but we don't look at it that way. Honestly, would you want to go back to being 20 again? I mean, I don't know how old you are, but think about a time several years ago. Would you want to go back there? I mean, you might have looked fantastic, but no 20-year-old has a whole lot of wisdom. Unless you're the Dalai Lama, and that's a different story, and there's only one of those. No matter what stage of life we're in, each of us has a lot to give right now. And if we embrace it, we can set our world on fire in a very graceful and fun way by just being ourselves, by letting our light shine, being the individual, you know, that doesn't dress like everybody else, that doesn't act like everybody else, that's just happy and childlike and fun. You know, if you choose to be yourself to the absolute maximum, how beautiful will that be? Might be kind of scary, you know, to think about that, you know, to actually invest in that, to test it out, but really to just be yourself and to be satisfied with that, to be settled in that. Because honestly, if you're yourself, you have to be the greatest expression of Source. And that's beautiful and healing to everyone and everything in our world. This is a huge lesson for me. I know I'll be working on it for probably for the rest of my life. But if I hold true, I just have this certainty that if I hold true to the rule of love, just letting love dictate. We all have to do things we don't necessarily want to do. But you know what? If we're happy with the way we're dressed, if we're happy with the breakfast we had, you know, that it's just there's compensating factors to the things that we don't exactly love to do. And take those and focus on those. But just letting love guide in every situation. How can I lose? How can I lose? Love sets us and everyone and everything free to be exactly who and what we and they are. No strings, no clinging to the past or to what we think we or they should be. Just letting all that go and experiencing true freedom. That's neutrality. That's neutrality. So, I think I'm going to have a wonderful time in Springfield with my grandchildren. I know for sure. But the whole trip, from the time I get in that Lyft ride, I'm sure I'll have a fabulous Lyft driver. I always do. I always do, because it's rare that I've just not had a great conversation with a Lyft driver, and thankfully haven't had to use Lyft for quite a while now. A year ago, it was a constant thing, but just looking forward to a great ride to the airport at 4 a.m. Usually, that's when those philosophical type Lyft drivers are driving, and so it's always a kick. But from the time I leave to the time I get back, and then being back home again where I love to be, I think it's all going to be just a wonderful time. And I'm just going to, let love dictate on every level, from tiny to big. And I'll have a wonderful time with my grandchildren. And I know that if I do let love dictate, again, from tiny to big, I can be the inlet and outlet of both grace and play. And playfulness. And goodness knows, a 3 and 4 year old and a 7 year old know how to play. So I can get a few lessons from them while I'm there too. Thank you all for being with me today. It's at the end of the show. I hope that was valuable. It was something that I really, really needed to talk about. And in talking about it, it expanded even more for me. But thank you for listening. And thank you for listening if you're listening on a replay. I do truly appreciate it. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that we relate to the world, because indeed the world is us pushed outward. So please stay tuned for Katie Weaver and have a very, very blessed week, everyone. Bye-bye.